Good morning, everyone. Today, I'd like to talk about the design of spaces where music is meant to be listened to. Buildings like theaters or concert halls, they all have a specific kind of plan in mind for the best listening experience. What do you think it is?
Acoustics?
Exactly right. The design of theaters and stages have been in the thoughts and words of musicians and architects for more than 2,000 years. They want to make sure the sound carries and is both audible and of good quality by the time it reaches the far edges of the audience. At the beginning of the 20th century, architectural acoustics actually became a scientific field, mostly due to the contributions of Wallace Sabine, who started extensive research on the science of reverberation. Sabine said he wanted to find out why listeners had such a hard time hearing the speakers in one of his lecture halls in Boston, and thus began his studies.
Hey, Professor, you just mentioned the word reverberation. Can you explain what reverberation is?
Okay. Reverberation is the continuation of sound in a room. You see, sound in a solid room will reflect off the walls, the floor, even the ceiling and any occupants. The sound waves keep going, keep bouncing off surfaces in an understandable manner, even after the source stopped producing them. In fact, the way to find out a reverberant sound quality was made up by Sabine. He made an equation that would measure how long it took for the reverberant sound to die down. So what do you think happens if the time between the source stopping and the sound stopping is very long?
The reverberation would be high, right? But isn't it difficult to hear two sets of sounds going on at the same time?
Yes. Drawn-out reverberations sometimes make the music notes drown each other out. On the other hand, if the notes fall flat as soon as the instrument is finished, the musicians have to struggle to keep the stage feeling alive. So a lack of reverberation isn't good either. We want to strike a balance between a rich reverberation and a gentle fade that allows all of the music to swell and be distinguished. What do you think would need to be considered when designing a house for music?
Probably the materials inside. Hard materials make sounds bounce better while softer ones absorb it. Oh, and the size and shape of the place would also be important, right?
Lovely observations, you are right on the money. The larger the room, the longer sounds will reverberate inside. So architects would keep in mind what the room was going to be used for. After all, the sounds produced in an orchestra will need a lot more reverberation than, say, someone giving a speech. A musical room will need to have a different criteria than one intended for drama. Even within the music category, something like an orchestra will need a larger room than a piano recital. And jazz music in particular needs a short reverberation time to let all of the notes ring as they should. Aside from the room size, the shape is also important for good sound quality. For instance, designers would often avoid rectangular rooms. The parallel walls will bounce some sounds over there, some over here, and miss parts of the audience entirely right here. You want to design a room where every listener has the opportunity to experience the production in full. So you'd want the sound to be diffused. I'll wrap this up with a proper treatment for rectangular rooms. In areas where occupying a rectangular room is unavoidable, concert halls will hang chandeliers, elaborate decorations, even statues along the edges to better diffuse the sound. The soft chairs will soften loud reverberations, while ringing crystals will pick up softer ones. Well, that does it for now. I'll see you next week.